Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. We are entering a really odd week, an odd time in the college football schedule. It's essentially kind of a bye week. Everybody has to play games, but the schedule is so thin that, for instance, College Game Day, they're just up and going to James Madison University, a fine program, but not an FBS program. That shows you how thin the slate is. So hopefully we can take this week to review a little bit, look at the schedule, and try to understand a little bit of what's happened and what's going to happen thus far. For instance, we're here halfway through the season, a little over, and Iowa's undefeated and stands a really good chance of going undefeated. That wasn't supposed to happen, but here we are. So to discuss this and many other points, including the passion of Aubrey, a.k.a. why Drake inexplicably works on people of all ages, genders, races, creeds, and religions, is Ryan Nanny joining us from beautiful Brooklyn, New York. How are you doing, sir?
I had Chick-fil-A for breakfast, so I'm doing great. Have you ever?
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
The Chick-fil-A, you told me, in New York for breakfast is mysteriously absent because no one in New York City has figured out that Chick-fil-A has a delicious breakfast yet, right?
I would go so far as to say that I would rather have breakfast Chick-fil-A than lunch Chick-fil-A. And nobody was there. And at lunchtime, people lined up around the block. We're very stupid here, and that's why we pay between $2,500 and $4,000 a month just to live.
In a small space
that has mice.
Delicious. Another place that has mice, Kennesaw, Georgia, albeit ones who are by law required to carry a firearm if they are the chief owner of the domicile. Jason Kirk from Kennesaw, Georgia. How are you doing, sir?
The mice here, they actually are guns, I'll have you know. And for dinner, I had Tom and Chi. Have y'all had Tom and Chi?
No. What's that?
It's the most hipster thing that I endorse. It is a grilled cheese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup, which, like, to me, it makes every other restaurant seem pretty stupid.
Right.
Because, like, you know, if you think, like, what's the best thing to eat? Not like what's your favorite food? What's, you know, what's like the greatest thing you have ever eaten? But what's the best thing to eat? It's grilled cheese. And, like,
No.
It just seems like any other restaurant, except for Spencer, unless you have some sort of disease.
You realize,
like,
Jason,
Spencer has.
This restaurant combines the two foods Spencer is most on record as hating, cheese and soup.
Deeply opposed to both. Soup is fraud. It's essentially just water that someone dragged food through.
So on the Venn diagram of people who for whom this restaurant is perfect and Spencer, those two don't touch, and that's
right,
fine.
Right.
No, you're squarely in the middle of them, and I am 30 miles outside of them.
but it just makes every other restaurant seem like it's trying too hard.
Because they are, because there's no effort involved. All they do is they just take a piece of rotten milk and slap it between two pieces of cheap bread and slap it on a grill and sell it. I admire the complete lack of effort. I really do. I mean, this is something I should invest in because obviously, like, their overhead has to be $28 a day.
Yeah, there's no dispute here. I'm not saying they're working really hard or anything. What, I think they're working at the perfect level.
What you are describing is, I think, best summed up as confusingly appealing minimalism. And that also applies to a little ditty came out recently by our boy Drake. Hotline Bling.
Okay, nothing about this should work.
No. Even as you're listening to Hotline Bling, you're thinking, this is, you know, a step above elevator music as far as the melody and beat go.
Mm-hmm.
But only a step. In the video, Drake is, I think we described it as dancing in the manner of a plus one at a wedding who realizes that he has to dance, but is also very, very concerned about drawing too much attention to himself and being known as guy who dances at weddings. It's baffling. I can't
there's
make sense
like
of
a,
it all.
In his dancing face, there's like a weird level of unfocused focus to it.
Right.
Like, He's very aware that he is dancing. It just you read that I am performing right now, mm-hmm. you know, and not like in a everyone has to think this is good dancing way, but just like, you know, he's very conscious that he's dancing is what comes across.
Right. It's begrudging. It's like, okay, I think I have to dance to do this. The thing that you should know about this song, there are a few things you should know, that Drake, one, has been dumped again, and that the woman has, since Drake dated him, has attained some sort of reputation as being free-spirited.
As having fun.
It's having fun. Again, this
as
is like,
leaving her house.
As leaving her house. Again, this is like stalker ass Drake. Mm-hmm. At
towards
his
the
finest.
Towards the end when things are really breaking apart, there's a line. No, no, stay home. Be a good girl. Mm-hmm. Stay in the zone.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? That's what this
never
is.
Leave your house. Which is pretty creepy if anyone on earth except Drake says it.
Because mm-hmm. Drake just
while
puts
dancing
you
in front of like pink lights.
Because Drake just put you in your basement. Start a basement family with you, girl. Yeah,
it
it's creepy.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Exactly. Like this
and he's got girls like who kind of look exactly like Serena dancing.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I don't know if that's cute or creepy.
It's both.
I guess it depends on what she thinks. It depends on what Serena thinks.
In the manner of all things, Drake, it's both cute and creepy.
Exactly. That's his entire business strategy.
Let's be honest. That's how many serial killers do their thing.
It's true. The cute and creepy look?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Also, he's from Toronto. Remember, serial killers, they're from cold places.
Also, he's wearing sweatpants and boots. If there was ever a serial killer getup, that's it.
Either that, or I have had to, in an urban environment, go outside in the cold.
Well, yeah, but sweatpants and boots is very much a ring on someone's doorbell and be like, hey, my car broke down. Can I just use your phone? I promise I don't have a chloroform rag.
My car broke down. Can you come date me in it?
You didn't, girl? I'm so heartbroken. I'm
Can
gonna
we
go write...
just talk for 7 hours in
you
my car?
I'm going to go write a song about it. Yeah, I don't understand how any of this works. It should never work. Nothing about Drake should work. And yet every time the song comes on, I'm like, turn it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. This
it's,
is fine.
It's like, I think the thing about it for me, this particular song, is it's like a step shy of The Weeknd on like the... Wow, this dude really hates women scale. Like, yeah. It's just enough to where it's like, okay, I can fuck with this. But, you know, like, something like The Weeknd, it's like, wow, this sounds amazing, but, like, all these ideas are horrible, and I can't really sign off on any of this. But with Drake, it's, I guess we're sort of just used to the creepy behavior that, sure, fine, just this little half dubstep, not dubstep, half... whatever you'd call it. Sounds like island music, man.
Yeah. Half club banger.
Yeah. And
there's no banger at all.
Yeah. Like, and this combined with like his persistent likability, despite embracing one of the traits I find most despicable in a human being, which is team jumping, you know, not just bandwagoning, but front running.
Yeah.
That at every successful sporting event, remember, Drake is the person who so admires athletic excellence that like he dated Serena Williams. And I know that they probably liked each other, but the conspirator in my head, the conspiracy theorist in my head is like, he also liked her because she was a champion. That was right. It. Like if Serena just, I don't know, worked at Starbucks or if right. she was just a day trader or whatever, right? If she was a pediatrician, he wouldn't like her. But he's like, yeah, I'm dating that girl. And guess what? She won something.
So what you're trying to say is Anthony Davis. You expect a call, brother.
This is why it would be better if Drake were gay. Not because of any larger implications, but just because he would cozy up to anybody and everybody.
Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, if somehow Memphis gets into the playoff, Justin Fuente is getting that call, man. Like, oh,
hey, girl.
Drake.
Hey, girl.
Hey, you know, I respect you, champ.
Drake in a Paxton Lynch jersey.
Exactly.
Can I see?
Oh, man. And that's when Timberlake gets involved because, mm-hmm. like, he's actually a legit Memphis sports fan.
Who, yeah.
Like, after the Ole Miss game, there's video of him on stage in Memphis leading the fight song and, like, actually calling out lyrics and stuff. So, like, if Drake tries to push up on that territory, Man, we're getting some like SNL lip sync battle going on.
And then inevitably he kills Kenny Chesney.
That's fine. If that's the end result of all this, then go Memphis.
No. Kenny Chesney deserves to live just like the rest of us. That'd be terrible if that happened. Stop it. Stop.
What is
I'm not gonna do it. I'm just saying.
What is Drake's end game? What does he want with these songs? Does he just want women to be like a little bit sad?
A little bit sad and a little bit creeped out.
Because he's never, it's very rarely, it doesn't reach that Eminem level of like, hey, I hate you and I want you to feel nothing but pain. It's just like, oh, you know what? It's very Tom Haverford. Like, you broke my little heart.
But yeah, but that's next door, right? Yeah. Like you say that, like, okay, it's not like Eminem, but that's just down the street.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
That's just down the street. It's not far over. You can see it from Drake's house, right?
Yeah.
Like Drake is, I think, you know, he's not far from that. I think,
and it could be argued that it's more dangerous because, you know, the Eminems, it's, yep, that's who this guy is.
It's a very,
no doubt.
It's very
steer clear.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's extremely upfront about all this. Whereas with Drake, I guess you could see people falling for it because, like, you know, all of us do every time the song comes on the radio.
I'm telling you, it's because he's Canadian.
Don't date Drake.
We don't see it coming. Yeah. Don't
fuck with Drake. Don't fuck Drake.
Listen, if you're within the sound of our voices, try not to date Drake. You probably will, but try not to.
You'll end up in a song, man. You will. I mean, at least say that about other rappers. You never ended up in a song. Won't remember your name. Drake, taking notes.
Why don't you call me Pat Fitzgerald?
He will put your voicemails in a song. He's done that.
Uh-huh.
That's when I called up Kirk Ferentz. I'm a lifelong Hawkeyes fan. Drake. Oh, my God.
You know when that Hawkeye bling?
You're like, wow, this song's 9 minutes long and never punts.
Right at noon when you need my punt.
Oh, man. The segue from Drake to undefeated Iowa leads me to what I would like to discuss, which is that we are kind of halfway through the season, and we have to confront a few things that I think we're a little too comfortable with and we need to look at and say, okay, this is happening, and it's still massively weird, screwed up, odd, and or surprising. For instance, from this past weekend, Ryan, our team's 6-1, man. Like, yeah. 6-1 and was right there with LSU at the end of the game, despite having the backup quarterback on the road against what I think might be the best team in the nation in LSU, which neither you and I, if we got to 6 wins, we would be pretty stunned. Like, seven was, you know, doing all right. 8 was going to be an achievement. 6-1 at this point in the season is astonishing for the Florida Gators.
So I have to ask the natural follow-up question. Let's say Florida loses to Florida State at the end of the year, because I think right now Florida State might be a better team than Florida. And
no, agreed. I think at this point, yeah.
And I know that we're supposed to talk about the Noles in a certain way on this podcast, but hey, guess what? One of the themes of this podcast is life mistakes. We're probably all making a life mistake ignoring Florida State at this point in the season, because they're not the same. They're not as good as the team that won the national title 2 years ago. They're better than we thought they were going to be. But my question to you is, of the 4 remaining games for Florida, other than FSU, Georgia, Vandy, South Carolina, FAU, which is the dumb game that they lose?
Yeah, I don't know if they do. Like, that's the other thing, is that you look forward at Florida State schedule and mm-hmm. You look and go, I don't know which one of these games they lose.
I think Florida probably drops the Georgia game. I'll be honest.
But is this the contrarian theory that, yeah, Georgia looks absolutely awful, that means in this rivalry we get a Florida loss?
Florida Georgia never makes sense, and rarely do both teams play well.
Well,
usually neither.
Yeah.
I mean, since like post Meyer.
That,
right?
Yeah.
Post Meyer.
Even some of like a year or two in the Meyer series, and certainly in a lot of the Zook series of games. Just, I am prepared for A, Florida to lose that Georgia game on Halloween, and B, to try to not let the wheels come off what is otherwise a very nice season for Jim McElwain in year one.
Absolutely. And if I have to look at the Florida State schedule and say, okay, they're going to lose this game, they're going to do all kinds of horrible, horrible stuff to Georgia Tech. It's not going to be good. Ditto for Syracuse. It's just going to be an ugly, horrible. They might underachieve against Syracuse, but even underachieving is going to look pretty bad. Clemson, that's an actual game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at Clemson. Not that that's been a tremendous advantage for Clemson against Florida State. See, 2 years ago. Whew, one of the worst in-conference games between supposedly competitive teams I have ever seen. But the following week is where they really have to worry, because North Carolina State's just that kind of team. North Carolina State's just lying there. There's no way Florida State's going to be anticipating what they could possibly get from them. I think November 14th versus North Carolina State, even though it's in Tallahassee, is the game that they'll probably sleep on and have the most trouble with.
Okay. I'm fine. Yeah, I think that sounds right. I mean, I don't know. Nothing really makes sense at this point in the season. That's the dominant theme, I think, across anyone and everyone you talk to.
Well, I mean, and a few things make sense. A few.
I would love to hear them. Give me one thing that you feel very confident about right now.
I feel confident that we were all right about USC. Like the
who is we? Like our this what? Specific circle?
I think so. I don't think anyone bought USC here.
Okay.
Right.
USC at the beginning of the year, it was like they were like eighth or something, and then you looked up in like week three and they were like sixth, and they were like trailing Stanford. It was clear they're going to lose, and no one cared at all. Like, it wasn't like, oh shit, top 10 team going down. It was like USC's losing. It was like the number didn't even exist.
Yeah,
it was like they were overhyped by no one. It was like they just showed up there.
Yeah, they just popped up somehow in the top 10 for no reason, because they're like, Cody Kessler. Cody Kessler. Okay, well, what's the actual argument for the Cody Kessler?
Cody Kessler and like two guys who are good for three highlights a game, and they don't usually play on the defense. So.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson. Like, Adoree Jackson's legit.
Juju Smith is legit.
And Juju Smith's legit. But defensively, they didn't solve anything.
Oh, boy.
No, sir. Right.
And yet, favored against top four team Utah.
Yep.
Can we explain that at all?
Nope. We cannot. You know what? You can explain that. Sports gamblers are dumb.
That, and there's also the advanced stats still really, really like USC. And that's not just the ones people like to yell about, like, oh, ESPN overrates the big teams or whatever, which is stupid because there's not like a team fame algorithm component. But like the computers really like USC. I have no idea why, but I would assume Vegas is due as well.
I think that's because of yards per play. It's probably one reason they really like them. You know, they just don't account for turnovers, and they don't account for everything that seems to happen defensively for USC when it can really afford the least, right? Like, that's – watch that Notre Dame game. that Notre Dame game is pretty much USC in a nutshell this year, yeah. From start to finish. Just obviously, like, mind-bogglingly talented at some positions, and then error-prone. Error-prone and inconsistent and not really – like, I don't know what it is, like – I think it's a cliche to say lack of killer instinct, but they kind of have that. Like, it's just, it doesn't really show up when it has to. You know, this is my long way of saying they're kind of the sick man of the Pac-12 right now, and I have no idea why. None. I don't even think, you know, you can't point to sanctions too much anymore. I think there's a marginal effect depth-wise, but at this point, you just look at them and go, somebody will come in and make them something great. They just have to find the right person.
I just feel like watching them, like, it just looks like they never actually fired Lane Kiffin, and maybe they didn't. Maybe that was all a scheme. Like, firing him at an airport curb, that's a little far-fetched. I think they actually kept him.
Just nobody's afraid to run on USC. That's the weird part. Like, that used to be the thing where you were like, all right, well, you should because you have to. but it's not going to go super well. And now it's just like, yeah, go out there. Get 150 yards of on the ground. Easy. How many touchdowns do you want? You want two touchdowns? Here, have two touchdowns. You don't you don't need a really awesome quarterback to beat USC right now.
You want to know where their rush defense sits nationally?
It's not good. It's like in the 60s, 70s?
You are correct. It is just under Kentucky. It's tied for 67th. For instance, Cal has a better rushing defense than USC. Yeah, that's where we're at. So they've lost that. They've lost something defensively. I don't know if that's a matter of depth or if Justin Wilcox just isn't the right fit there defensively, but that's where they're at. And somebody's going to come in and just absolutely beat ass.
The funny thing is we assume it's depth, but I'm looking here at their S&P defense per quarter. It actually goes down, or it actually goes up. I mean, it starts there in they play like a 90th team in the first quarter, and then things get better. So like if it's depth, the backups, the like two or three backups they have are better than the starters.
That's true. So that's the problem.
So what you're saying, their coaching for 6 days is really awful, but on game day it really gets good.
Yeah, their opening play script is terrible, mm-hmm. And then hey, look, here's some 5 stars.
I.e., completely wrong, right? like it's just totally wrong, right? Like, oh, they're running left. Oh man, funny.
Did y'all watch Willow instead of the game? Yeah, we did
again.
I just love Willow.
Warwick Davis is just so moving.
I love Matt Bardigan.
The other thing from this year that I really want to drive home is that from the preseason polls, the biggest disappointment and/or pleasure.
Don't do this, man.
I'm gonna do it.
Do it. Drop that bomb.
I'm all in on this, so to speak, because we're all part of the family, right? Auburn. I mean, we kind of all got horrified at Auburn at once, and then kind of pulled back, like, okay, they're bad. No.
You're not off the hook here yet, Auburn.
Not in the least, because going back to that preseason poll, if we looked at where Auburn was 7th in the coaches poll and 6th overall.
Now, Auburn was the official SEC favorite.
Correct. I believe it was at SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
It was the official poll. They were the favorite. Bama was favored to win the West, but Auburn was favored to magically appear.
That's that SEC
in the Georgia Dome.
That's that SEC math, y'all. It don't have to.
Hey man, we ain't here to count.
Nobody cares about your traditional math systems.
Only thing we count is questionable titles from the '70s.
Three is greater than five in SEC land.
Do you want to teach or do you want to preach? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to hate or do you want faith? Okay.
Hey, Trinity don't make sense in math either. But that's how number three becomes number one. Roll Tide.
Well, here's how number six became unranked.
Are they even getting votes at this point?
No.
Oh my God. That would be stupid. I'm sure in the coaches' poll.
I mean,
you
say that, but Georgia's ranked in the coaches' poll. So.
I mean, the coaches' poll, It does what it wants, man. Let the coaches bowl cook.
We all make mistakes.
we all make mistakes, and one of them is ever consulting the coaches poll. Okay,
the coaches poll is for entertainment purposes only.
By the way, even the coaches poll does not have a single vote going to Auburn.
Shit.
There's one
rock bottom.
Let me tell you this week from week eight. I'll put it to you this way. There is one vote for Bowling Green, and there are zero votes for Auburn.
There are five for Wazoo.
That's right.
Wazoo is dunking on you, Auburn.
I mean,
they got revenge. First, they drank out your entire town of alcohol, and now they got more. Wazoo has more votes in the coaches' poll.
Arizona has two votes in the coaches' poll.
Illinois has five.
Dunk on them. Stun on them.
Five. Headless.
Bill Cubitt has more votes than Gus Malzahn.
Hey, that's your new Auburn coach right there. Go get him.
Bill Cubitt, he's a biblical unit of measurement by himself. What could be more Auburn than that?
His last name describes Gene Chizik's head.
Exactly. It's destiny, y'all. Or the pattern on Pat Dye's plaid pants. Square. Cubicle, Bill Cubitt, follow me down this road and give the man a contract. Yeah, Auburn has been a bitter disappointment. And in fashions, I don't think we really anticipated. Like,
well, one fashion we did.
Which one is that?
That would be the, hey, the defense is not very good fashion.
Like, the defense got worse.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing to me is you added what is widely regarded as a good defensive coach to, you know, and didn't lose a lot of talent. And things got worse. I thought they'd get slightly better. I think a lot of people were expecting like, oh, instant top 10 defense. But now it's, you know, instant top 100 defense.
Now, we're saying this now, by the way. Auburn's still 4-2. Okay? Because they're not the biggest disappointment of the SEC West. I know that's surprising. They're not, though. No. They're really not. Because they're 4-2.
That's a lot. I mean, the biggest disappointment in the SEC West is a very interesting horse race right now. Because I'd say you've got three legit candidates right now.
Oh, I've got I have a $15.4 million bet on who the biggest disappointment in the SEC West is.
Okay.
I think it's still up for debate.
Because honestly, Auburn could finish this, and it will be a they're locked into a disappointing season. They really are. Okay, but they have to play Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Georgia, Idaho, and Alabama. And I don't think it's unfeasible that they could win three of those games. They're going to finish, right? So they'll finish what?
They can win four of those games. Hell, that 8-4 is not crazy. Not at this point.
If they finished 8-4 strong, and it depends on who those four games are, then I think Gus Malzahn will be fine. Nobody will be too happy with it. But when your starting quarterback just flakes the hell out and throws 10 times more picks than anyone anticipated, and suddenly you're starting your backup who didn't even have anybody waiting in line for his autograph in media days. That can happen, and I don't think anybody would be too infuriated. There are two teams in the SEC West that both have the stank on them right now. One, I think numerically, that would be Arkansas, because this was supposed to be a turnaround year.
I would say that what were really the expectations for Arkansas? 7 or 8 wins? Arkansas was not supposed to finish as a top 10 team. They're supposed to finish top 25-ish.
And they are fair, but let me ask you, with two wins at this point in the season,
they haven't played Missouri yet.
Oh man, I'm already not watching that game.
Can you picture that game in your mind?
I can.
Can you picture it? It's right around Thanksgiving, so you're adding tryptophan to that too.
It ends 7-6.
That's generous of you.
I think these
two are really, really comparable in terms of how disappointing is this. Like, losing to Toledo, that probably tips the scale in Arkansas's favor, but hey, Toledo's good. Like, to me, it's falling from 8-4 to probably 6-6 at best. That's bad, but I think Auburn trumps that by falling from title contender to hoping for 8 wins. I think that's a much bigger deal.
Let me get it to you this way, okay? Arkansas, they'll beat UT Martin. Pretty sure.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure they're going to beat Missouri, but I'm not entirely sure.
Who's to say?
Ooh, that's going to be like a 3-0 game.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, they get Auburn at home on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And they'll probably lose. Like, they realistically, they'll, because that's a form of big dumb football. I'm pretty sure Will Muschamp can get his peanut sized brain around. Okay.
I mean, if anybody out there is picking this game, they've got a problem. I'm not really confident in Auburn against anyone right now.
I'm going to give you, listen, my number is 404. Call me.
Did you note Auburn tried to lose to Kentucky? We did see that, right?
30-27.
Okay, so I mean, Arkansas, surely they're about as good as Kentucky.
Disagree.
It's all situational.
Uh-huh. I think this is coming from Florida almost lost to Kentucky as
sure.
well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. If you watch that game, it was never in doubt. It's just that Florida.
What was the final score? 12-7.
It was 14-3.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. That 11 points could have been 30. It just didn't move. Like, Kentucky was not putting the ball anywhere. on Florida whatsoever in that game. We weren't scoring either, but it was never really in doubt. There were like three quarters of conceding. It took Kentucky three quarters to concede in that game. Arkansas might not finish with the winning record. They really might not. This could be, this will be ugly. And it would be ugly if moving Brett Bielema both physically and financially were not such an impossible proposition. Because he's not going anywhere. Because he has a massive buyout. Because his agent is a genius. It's Kirk Ferentz's agent, by the way.
I think you can say the same regarding Auburn's record as well, though.
But if we're talking just... Here's the difference between Auburn and Arkansas and the team I want to talk about in the SEC West. Those schools, the fans have had some time to come to terms with the fact that the season is done. I mean, they're not going to meet expectations. Ole Miss is still in the bargaining phase, squarely.
And honestly, like in the bargaining phase, and with these little indicators that things could get better. For example, Tunsil
coming back
this weekend, best offensive lineman in the conference. Many think coming back from an NCAA.
Something or other, yeah.
Well, we'll call it
some cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We'll call it an NCAA suspension.
Okay.
Right? He's coming back this weekend, so they get their best offensive lineman back, right? And they still got plenty of weapons, and they're not particularly hampered by injury unless you count in the Robert Condice, who went out with a concussion because Hugh Freeze was playing him on offense.
Nobody else can run.
Heisman Trophy. Don't denigrate.
So coming back, like, there's indicators for hope, which to me is like the most typical Ole Miss thing to happen, because it could still all go really badly from here.
Sure. They could drop every game left on the schedule.
Even the one to Arkansas. We're just chalking up wins for the Razorbacks left and right.
Even the one to Arkansas.
We keep going through these teams. We're going to get Arkansas to 6-6. I promise y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if they get to 6-6 in that last game, who dog? What a miracle that'll be. Because that'll be over Missouri. And it'll be ugly. Brett Bielema will pump his fist in the air as they walk off and winners of a 6-0 game.
And then we'll rank Arkansas 25th again. Hey man, they're look at them.
Arkansas offseason hype. Here it comes. And then they flatten somebody in a bowl game. And then, yep, Arkansas preseason number 9. Wait, did y'all seriously not watch that season? We don't ever learn anything.
Stop living in the past.
You know, I kind of like Ole Miss to win the West in 2016. Are you fucking kidding? Ole Miss is 4-0.
Just pen in Alabama. It's so easy.
So simple.
Look at the Cruton. But let's not suggest that the disappointment is limited to the SEC West or the SEC at all.
No.
Let's talk about Georgia Tech.
Yeah. I wish I could give you a noise that indicated that I was making every face to that Michael Jordan laughing gif.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where he's like, wipes tear from eye, right? And it's mean laughter. It's like the meanest form of laughter imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing right now when you talk about Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech opened with a 63-point win over Alcorn State, which, granted, not an FBS opponent, but still, just tuned them up real good. Followed that with a 55-point win over Tulane, FBS opponent, although not a Power 5, still pretty good. Went on the road, lost to Notre Dame in a sloppy game, but ended up being a one-score loss. And then they lost in succession to Duke, UNC, Clemson, and Pitt. They are now 2-5. They can only afford one more loss on their schedule if they want to make a bowl. And they have to play FSU, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Miami, and Georgia.
Mm.
Let's start. Like, can they?
No.
Will they make a bowl? Okay. Well,
no.
Well,
no.
Shit.
No. Nope.
Shit.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's okay. Just not.
I mean, what is the easiest game in this group? Is it at Virginia?
It's at UVA.
After you play Florida State?
Yes, it's at UVA.
That's still not easy.
It might be home with rest against Virginia Tech, another moribund team, if ever there was one.
Ooh.
Which is also coming off. Oh, that's after Virginia Tech plays at Boston College. No rest is sufficient for after you play the Eagles.
So
body that bye week doesn't even count.
Body blow.
You just got sat on by a dude.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Tech's schedule is like it's as about as hard as an ACC schedule can possibly be. Yeah. Like this whole run, plus they get the two best out of the Atlantic, plus they get Notre Dame on the road, and then sure you get to wind down at Georgia or against Georgia at home, which is at Georgia.
Georgia fans, by the way, I can confirm are already theorizing that at this point Georgia Tech is putting all of its efforts into just winning that game. Like they don't
which
care
Tech
about
has done before.
Well, I was going to say this is really not a far fetched thing.
There is a historical precedent for this. If you go back and read, I think it's like 1917, something like this. There is a year when Tech played its backups for the entire year to keep its starters fresh just for the Georgia game. They beat the shit out of Georgia, and they're like, "Yep, cool, good. Season's a success."
Count it.
So that might be happening again.
Count it.
Later.
Last score wins. That's what we said.
That's it. We finished 3-9, but man, that last three. Number
but
three.
The third one.
It's pretty magical.
Hey, if the rapture happens this offseason, we beat y'all.
Yeah, again, that's the real triple option here. Paul Johnson winning three games.
We take the Zaxby's belt to heaven.
You can't take this away from us, Cabela's.
The old Oak and Aquemini tape. Yeah. It's going to heaven.
I'll see your ass at Aldi.
Yeah. St. Peter believed in chop blocks.
It's the Memorial Drive Marathon. We finished the whole season. Just get there. Another team that I want to talk about positives because we're very negative. And that's because we like bad football.
That's because we've been listening to Drake.
We have, exactly. How dare you lie to us, Georgia Tech?
I thought you loved
it. Be a good team. Stay at home in December.
Stay at home, Arkansas.
Stay at home during the Belk Bowl.
Stay at home. Don't talk to anybody else. Get in that basement, girl. You know you want to.
Be a good girl. Wear Russell Athletic.
That's right. Wear Russell. You out there in Adidas. What's wrong with you? The teams that have surprised us, besides Memphis, a joyous story, by the way, the Memphis Tigers. Mm-hmm. Winners, by the way, over Ole Miss in Smash Mouth fashion. It wasn't like this was a fluky hang-on victory. If you look at their last drive, it's like 8 minutes in all runs. 8 minutes and all runs up the middle to just kill the clock and strangulate them.
Ole Miss ran for 40 yards, and granted, Ole Miss's best running back was hurt because he's a defensive lineman. And granted, Ole Miss doesn't run on anybody, but a converted CUSA Big East team held Ole Miss to 40 yards rushing.
Damn.
USF played Memphis tighter. That's all I'm going to say. But I'm sorry, we were being positive. I'm sorry,
by the way,
we were being positive.
The weirdest and probably the vaguest compliment we can give an improved USF
an
team.
An improved USF
yeah.
team that is going, is probably, is like maybe going to make a bowl game.
I mean, granted, they only beat Syracuse by so much.
That's true. I mean, they did beat Syracuse by a lot.
They let Syracuse hang around, but
far too long.
Let me give you my happiest surprises thus far of the year. Okay, just in short order, looking over not the top 25, but all over FBS. Okay, Temple.
Yeah.
Undefeated freaking Temple. 3-0 in the American. The conference of the year, by the way, by far is the American. Thanks to Temple. Thanks to Houston. Just an astonishing performance by the conference as a whole. I know you don't want to necessarily compliment them yet too much, but
yeah, they have to play each other too.
They do.
There's going to be some carnage coming, but
they'll have a Big 12 effect where they do cancel each other out. But overall, through preseason and early conference play, outstanding work by the American Conference overall.
I mean, I think you could see Navy coming. You could see Temple coming because they returned literally their entire defense from a defense that was already good.
Yeah.
But Houston has been, I think, at least a year ahead of schedule. And Memphis has, I thought they would take a big step back, but they might be even better.
You know who's still on Temple's schedule, right?
And then there's UCF. But we're being positive.
No, we're being positive.
That is a positive story because it means George O'Leary sucks.
Temple hosts Notre Dame. Is that what we're getting to?
Yes.
That is what we're getting to. On Halloween night.
Another story that I absolutely love, 2-1 in the Pac-12, 5-1 overall, currently ranked 20th, for whatever that's worth. And a team with the best quarterback in America, that would be the Cal Golden Bears. Jason, the Cal Golden Bears.
My Cal Bears.
Yes, your Cal Bears. By the way, set up to beat some ass at UCLA on Thursday.
Yeah. I've had this pegged as a Cal win for like months now. Even like back when I had UCLA like going like 11-1, Cal is the one you're not getting past. And that has not changed.
Hell no. No. Another outstanding story thus far in college football in terms of stunning performances. And man, I don't think we've ever equated happiness, surprise, and joy with this team before. The Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I agree with you.
I feel bad. I feel bad because Iowa, yeah, they're 7-0. And, like, you know, you don't want to run them down or anything. That's cool. Like, you know, Iowa fans are cool. I like, my grandma lives in Iowa. But, I mean, this team isn't, like, you know, one of the best in the country or anything like that. But, you know.
What, they have their backup come in and run for like 200 yards this week. If you know Iowa, that's quite something that the backup managed to take the field at all without being struck by lightning, attacked by wild dogs.
They're only partially cursed, but that's awesome.
Iowa scored 40 points on a credible Big Ten team.
Yeah,
that's true.
These are true facts. These are absolute true facts, and I don't understand them.
They've opened things up a little bit. They're getting a little bit more aggression. There have been a lot of stuff written by Iowa fans about how, like, oh shit, we went for it on a fourth down. Oh my God, our quarterback just moved his feet. Like, yeah, they're cool. You know, like, I have nothing bad to say about Iowa.
But man, they have the dumbest schedule left.
They do.
The real shame is. We could get to the point where Iowa is 10-0, and you're still like, oh, hell no, I'm not watching this Iowa game.
Yeah, I'm not watching them. But they're a great story. It's really nice. Another couple of fantastic stories. Wazoo, currently 4-2, and won two Pac-12 games in a row for the first time since, I'm just going to make this up, 1938.
They are the state champs of Oregon.
That's true.
Yeah, they did it. They lost to the best football team in Oregon, which is Portland State.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Portland State is now officially the best team in Oregon.
They're silver medalists in Oregon.
They are the second best team in Oregon out of three, one of which is not them.
I don't know if this is a good story because I don't understand it at all. Oklahoma State 6-0.
No one has seen any Oklahoma State. No one
understands how this happens. They've won a bunch of games at the buzzer. Right at the wire.
So they won the Texas game, which Texas fans will tell you had some questionable officiating.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Kansas State game, in which they got first down when they were 5 yards short of it for no damn reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to play a ranked team potentially until November still.
So like, we're talking like 9-0?
It's a backloaded schedule, but they can get to 8-0 before they have to play anybody.
Yeah. No, I mean, they are lurking. There are several teams that are lurking.
You know what that sets up for, though? That sets up for like an 8-4 finish and, we got to get rid of Gundy again.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get rid of the best coach in school history, that whole thing.
Les Miles?
The coach with the best run in school history.
Let her rip, he said before a 40-point blowout. Utah sitting at 6-0 and beating some ass. Like, Jason Kirk's own Utah Utes. Actually, since we switched, they're my own Utah Utes.
Shit. Yeah, Bud don't respect him, though.
How'd you do that?
I'm amazing.
Bud thinks
you assigned me Cal.
Bud thinks Utah's the 38th best team in the nation.
Yep. Yep, I hope Utah plays FSU in a bowl game and pace them by 40 points.
That would be the Sun Bowl if it's ACC Pac-12.
That'd be great.
I want FSU in El Paso. I want Gary and Vern calling it and saying, wow, this looks nothing like the SEC.
Exactly, FSU. Jesus, man, these players look like they were out all day.
I tell you, Vern, it's a good thing this team didn't join the Southeastern Conference in 1991.
Loser gets Dave Wanstead.
he's the trophy of the Sun Bowl. It's just Dave Wanstead.
Hey, guys. I'll sleep in the garage. It's cool.
He looks like he loves garages.
Dude, I bet you could have a good time with Dave Wannstedt in a garage.
Oh, especially if you got a garage fridge. Oh, Dave Wannstedt will drink some Diet Sunkist.
I just can't look at Dave Wannstedt without wanting a sandwich. Like, the man just looks like he demolishes a giant, like, Garfield-sized sandwich. Anywhere on God's green earth, if you plant him, a sandwich will appear and disappear.
He's like a sloth. He eats it once a week.
He's got like all kind of Italian meats that you've never heard of.
He actually throws up on it like a fly and dissolves it and then just eats that.
That's a porn passata there. That's a famous porn sausage from Italy.
It's got a cappadonna. It's delicious. It's got 19 kinds of salami.
It's delicious. You take a horse and you pickle it, bury it in the ground for 8 months. Only in Liguria. You got to take it out in February.
Like Petros Papadakis has got him on some Greek sauce or whatever to put on top of all these 35 kinds. Yeah, yeah. My God, they could create a sandwich.
This proves my point, by the way, that no
one... turn into FS1, you're seeing some just weird food in your mind.
Yeah, this your inability to instantly think of Greek food only proves my point that Greek food is terrible.
Petros Papadakis here. Yes, there are some thumbs in this food, but that's the cost of being great.
Petros Papadakis.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Petros is so loud in person. It's amazing. I've been on a TV show with Petros, and he's fine. He's a really nice dude, but he is so loud.
You consume more human hair than you even realize over the years. Petros Papadakis here.
Who's louder, Joey Harrington or Petros?
Petros is so much louder.
I'm full of spiders.
Fucking loud.
No, it's like Petros has been on talk radio so long that he can't turn it off. Like,
and maybe with Joey, it's like a quiet intensity. Like the volume isn't there, but just he's like seething with excitement and it feels loud.
No, he's a piano player. He has a loud and soft pedal. He at least has that. Petros is just, he's been on talk radio too long and can't turn it off and has lost the ability to control the volume of his voice.
It's like he's constantly on a motorcycle.
Right. He's on an invisible motorcycle that only he can hear.
We are talking about the network that broadcasted for like 2 weeks in a row games in like LA and Ohio from their like studio set. So
you're going to have to yell.
He might be traveling while he records these things.
I'm on a plane on Wi-Fi.
I'm on the tarmac. I'm waiting for Dave Wannstedt's Ligurian pickled horse.
It's his favorite sandwich.
There's so many.
Yeah, that and I think my last like super positive story that I'm very happy about.
Tennessee.
You know what?
Wow.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet. If they beat Alabama, Butch is for 5 years.
Oh my God, there'll be so many babies named Butch.
Butch. Man, if they beat Alabama, I will feel myself rolling on the floor and laughing like a baby for like 5 minutes on end.
This is my daughter, Butcherina.
Butch Hilda. We're gonna do some reader questions. Does that sound like a good thing? Because there's nothing to preview this week. We'll watch it all, but there's
one game to put on for. That's Georgia Southern App State Thursday night.
That's right. Fun belt.
There are no other games on this week, to my knowledge.
Yeah, which we're doing full social media takeover on that in coordination with this Fun Belt Conference, right?
We are. We are good friends at the Sun Belt. We are covering that game with them. And we kind of would be anyway, just because that's like by far the most interesting game of the weekend, in my opinion.
Live from Boone, the mountain fortress, home of the Wilderness Kings, the Mountaineers themselves.
Here comes FCS Alabama.
FCS Alabama versus Georgia Southern, which is, you know, probably third best team in the SEC. I have to say that. Because they beat us at home.
Apparently so.
Remember when that happened? Because Will Muschamp was their dumbass coach, Ryan? It's amazing.
I don't know. Why would you do this?
I just did it.
That's rude. I thought we were even positive.
Cruelty.
I want to talk to Petros again.
Cal at UCLA, I'll also put on for that game because I enjoy that. Also, Texas Tech at Oklahoma. Watch your ass, Oklahoma. Seriously, you're not taking them seriously. Texas Tech could score. I don't know if they can defend you, but they can definitely score. And... sleeper, Washington State at Arizona, going for their third straight Pac-12 win. If you got a mortgage, put it on this game. because I hate you. I want you to lose money.
Wow.
And that's how the housing market crashed.
That's it. I'm just, there I am. I am a danger to the global economy.
I wonder what the over is in that game.
The over?
The over is just like, yes.
Over in that game. Starts at 3 p.m. Over in that game is 10 p.m. That's what I mean by over.
The over is, no, not yet.
No, no. Not yet.
No, no, no.
Come back later. Check it. Go take a nap. Come back. Oh, and Utah, USC, if you want to watch a team die. Because Utah is going to beat up on them. Though this is the kind of game USC would win, right?
Yeah. Not that confident in my Utes here.
Yeah, in your
Spencer's Utes. Sorry. Now that they're about to lose, I'm happy to give them away, I guess. He's still my
Utes. He's just better because they beat his Cal Bears.
The Michigan.
I just love my Cal Bears.
5 turnovers, and they almost won that game, damn it. Almost.
Off the arm of what you called the best quarterback in the country. College football. It's very dumb.
He has said that about 3 times now.
Best quarterback in the country, Jared Goff. I've just cursed him. He's going to get hit by a bus in the next 2 days.
That's cool.
It'll be eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'll never hear it coming. Damn that Nissan Leaf bus.
He's so eco-friendly, California. Even in death. The questions I want to answer, I have a couple of quick questions, which is from The Bill Kenny, at The Bill Kenny on Twitter. I went to a small rural school in New York with no college football. Still better than going to Syracuse, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than going to Syracuse, I'm sure. Another quick question. This is from Van Newell. Okay, Van Newell, at Van Newell on Twitter, wants to know, what is the largest student debt you personally know of? And can we do a benefit for Celebrity Hot Tubs NYU loans? This company is pretty much a benefit for Celebrity Hot Tubs NYU loans, okay? Whole thing. But the largest student debt that I personally know of was somebody who was over 2 bills, i.e. Dual law school degrees, over 200 grand in debt. Over for law school.
Man, think how many boats he could have had.
Think how many boats he had, dude.
And the irony is, you take a boat out into international waters, your law degree don't mean shit. Boats, the answer to everything.
Boats.
My wife is telling me 257,000.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a med school debt. 257,000.
Wow.
So we have a new record on air.
What institution is that?
That was multiple institutions.
I will say this. If you at some point in your life have owed more than $257,000 in educational debt, let me know and I will, if you can break that mark, I'll send you like 4 cookies. I'll make you cookies.
I will send you a dollar in the mail.
We'll send you a dollar and 4 cookies. That's the road to debt repayment.
No,
I'll kick in like a box of Band-Aids or something. You might need those if you're a doctor.
I like that in any other scenario, if you're like, yeah, I owe them $250,000, you're like, oh, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
they're shooting you. But if it's a med school,
they need you alive.
They need you.
Because death is the only exit.
You don't have to work this off.
Grad school is the reverse mob.
It is. It's like the nicest mafioso ever.
Hey. No. You okay? Feeling good? Okay. Let's garnish those wages.
We're definitely not going to shoot you. No.
That'd be easy. We're not playing the easy way.
Every day is a telethon.
We want you healthy and working forever.
Then that is my other quick question. I believe I have one more. This is from Tiger B Dog. At Tiger B Dog on Twitter. What is the age of the child who dresses Danny Cannell? 40.
I misread that as what is the name of the child who dresses as Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell.
Which suggested to me that Danny Cannell was some sort of Vincent Adultman from BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't rule it out. I'm an adult and the SEC is garbage. I have to go now. Bye.
Sure, Danny. You went to a community college that specializes in tax fraud. You people are garbage. Florida State's terrible.
I played for the Giants, and I have a broom for a hand.
We love you, Danny.
Hey, thanks for listening, Danny. thanks for listening to Check for SEC Bias.
Yeah. Cause
there's none here.
None. Completely objective.
We did. You're clear to go.
We did trash three SEC schools on this program.
That's true. We will trash every SEC. Listen, the best SEC school historically is a despicable place.
That's true.
it represents the state of Alabama.
That's true.
One of our worst stretches of territory in these United States.
Although, Alabama does have unclaimed baggage facility. You should go read that story over at Racked, by the way. Unclaimed baggage, one of the weirdest places in the world, and it's fantastic.
And where is it in Alabama?
That would be in Scottsboro, which, thank God for unclaimed baggage, because if you look up Scottsboro history in Alabama, ooh, it's not good.
Unclaimed baggage is pretty much the peak of Scottsboro history. Yeah,
and the value is very low. The value is very low.
So Scottsboro is oversigned on luggage.
Scottsboro is oversigned on luggage and injustice, and you can only purchase one of them.
roll the dice, friend. Hey, you get one or the other.
One of them makes a great present for mom.
Yeah. We'll go to Jason for a question, because I have one more question. But we'll do mine real quick. At Isaac Tia, Isaac McKeithen, have you ever passed on the opportunity to go to a game and then regretted it? Yep. I could have gone to App State, Michigan. Full access. Talked about this before, but I blew it. Could have been on the sidelines for that in the big house and decided not to go because I was freelancing and it was too expensive.
So always spend money is the lesson. Uh-huh.
That's
the
lesson. Always buy the ticket.
Disregard everything we just said about the $250,000 in debt. Always spend the money.
Yeah. That's correct. Jason, your question.
From Matt Says Sports on Twitter, we've replaced Baylor's wide receiving core entirely with SB Nation staff. How many points per game do you score? My first question is, who are we playing? Because there is a wide variety of options on Baylor's schedule, and points per game, that sort of means the entire season, which things are going to be pretty bad if we have, what would that be, three or four of us on the field? If we're playing Lamar, I mean, like, you know, sure, we can, like, get out of, like, Shock Linwood's way. You know, like, Seth Russell can run without stepping on us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we just have to throw a block, right?
I mean, we just have to stay out of the way. Like, if, like, all three or four of us could combine to lay one block, I think they could score.
You know who's getting a lot of passes in this offense? That's Laquan McGowan.
Yeah. He's not a receiver, so he can stay on the field. He's gonna his work rate is going up significantly. I think that's gonna hurt Baylor's tempo.
Man,
that's fine.
Laquan McGowan got 30 targets.
And then was hospitalized afterwards.
And like 30 targets, like, you know, 15 of those could have been to somebody else, but
doesn't matter. He was there.
Big target.
He was there.
That's all right.
So I'm gonna say, you know, we'd score on most of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they run out of a four receiver formation, it's probably a little different. If they go three with the tight end and the back end there, yeah, I mean, they'll be fine. I think they could score 28. Also, we'll be wearing those sticky receiver gloves, which really do help.
So yeah, if like they forget to cover us, which by the third quarter they're totally if Baylor puts in its 200-300-plus pound tight ends and just runs the ball, sure, they'll, you know, start to neglect the wide receivers. We can pull off some Corey Coleman stuff as long as nobody's trying to tackle us.
I think the key for Spencer and I is that they need to run a lot of like fake fade routes, because Spencer and I cannot jump. So we just get that cornerback thinking, hey, they're going to throw this high point. And then they just throw us something in the dirt because we can get down there. We have low center of gravity already.
So like instead of a fade route, it's like a glow route or something
that,
the opposite of a fade.
Faded. It's the faded route.
Also, I think
I'm faded.
I think we could
faded dog.
I think
I'm down here on the ground. I'm faded.
That's the trick play. Be like, man, he is so high, he fell over.
Dog, I'm out. Just drop the ball in my face. I know I'm already down. That's fine. We'll burn.
No, we can get open if they call wheel routes. It doesn't matter how slow we're moving.
That's as long as we pretend we're fullbacks. We'll
that's
go
how
for 70.
That's how magical wheel routes are. We just run them, and you're like, wow, shit, I don't know how this is working, but I'm 10 yards open.
I'm walking.
Football
alchemy. That's what the wheel route is.
Do you have a question, Ryan?
This question from JF at Notorious JIF on Twitter. Which mid-major coach will make the worst life mistake by taking a new job this offseason? As we've sort of alluded to, there are a lot of candidates who've done quite well with mid-majors so far. I think we all are in agreement that we're a little worried Dino Babers is going to take the Maryland job. Don't do that, Dino. Why would you do that?
Yourself.
Like, you've been there. You helped burn down Maryland. Why would you be like, nah?
You've seen the flammability firsthand.
It's one thing if you buy a house sight unseen. It's another thing if you helped put mold in the walls. Don't buy that house.
Although it is kind of cunning. You put the mold there, and then you collected money for cleaning it up.
Yeah, that drove the value down.
That's true. I also like the possibility of Mike Bobo taking the South Carolina job.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yep.
Can I tell you the other South Carolina scenario that is side-splitting to think about? That would be Mac Brown. Mac Brown taking that South Carolina job.
He has said he'd like to call.
He'll pick up the phone. Mac Brown is sort of slowly devolving into a more presentable Houston nut at this point.
Remember, South Carolina does have a long history of hiring retreads. And man, there is no more genial retread on the block than Mac Brown. Hello, everybody.
That would be three straight retreads.
I also would not be surprised if Mac Brown is just saying he's interested in coaching jobs so that he can get free breakfast out of it. Heck of a cinnamon roll you got here.
Thank you
for having me. I'm not interested.
This year's coaching market is going to be interesting because, like, USC gets first pick. Sure, USC gets whoever they want, which, according to the rumors, it's like a fifth of the NFL.
Paul Petrino.
Yeah, sure. They want Tom Coughlin. Granted, fine, whatever. But after that, there's really not a job that you want to gamble your career on. Virginia, like 2016, Miami, Maryland.
Okay.
You know, like South Carolina with Clemson and Florida and Tennessee all getting better. Like, there's not really a job that you'd feel totally confident in gambling everything on if you're a Fuente or a Herman or a Babers. To me, it's wait a year. So like, to me, the coach who has unwavering, unshakable, total confidence in himself, to me, it's PJ Fleck. Wherever that dude goes, it's going to be, oh, PJ, man.
Rutgers.
PJ Fleck to Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Like, sounds great on paper.
I dyed my skin red because I am the Scarlet Knight. Fight the
and
eagle.
He is a Shiano man. We have a Shiano man coming back to Rutgers who's like actually got a decent track record as a mid-major coach. But PJ, slow down, please.
No. It'll work. It'll work. We got to be confident.
You just have to care enough.
Yeah, it's that could go very, very, very. I'm gonna say this again. Very, very badly.
I do like that.
Birthplace of college football. Just dilate the cervix. Get out there.
Shut the football out of your vagina, men.
Bear down.
The ankles behind your ears and push.
Give me the
now
breath.
Let's go beat Ohio State.
Do the breath of fire and beat Purdue. Okay, don't. You can just beat Purdue without the breath of fire.
We'll be fine without that.
That's another man. Purdue's gonna have to hire somebody. Like,
no,
Purdue's.
Don't say that.
Look at how many wins Purdue has.
What does that matter? When does that ever matter?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Like, when do you decide?
What are they going to do? Win?
Like,
if they hire somebody? Who are they going to go get?
When do you decide?
PJ Fleck, that's who I'm going to boil the fuck out of you.
If you want to see the saddest thing in the world, go on Twitter and search Sumlin Purdue.
Oh.
He is an alum, and there are people who've made the case that he might like to turn around his alma mater. And like half of it, it's like I saw one. It was like a Houston fan who's just like, you know, dropping Sumlin bio details. But like, there are people who sort of think that could happen in our reality.
Yeah, which is funny because you know that like Kevin Sumlin probably has some sort of like, I don't know, exotic, multi-turreted fortress built into Kyle Field. Like, Kyle Field is now so huge that it has angles that I haven't seen before. Right, it's like Hogwarts. You're like, oh look, there's a whole wing over there that I didn't notice. Just turrets and a dungeon and all kinds of stuff. Well, that's where Kevin Sumlin lives, and that he would leave that, okay, to go to West Lafayette,
unsiegeable because it has plague.
Yeah, that he would leave to go there is just absolutely insane. Now, mind you, this does bar the sort of jobs that might come open unexpectedly. Like, I don't know. We could just throw one out there.
Oregon.
Like what? Yeah, what if Oregon just decides that 8 wins ain't enough?
Oregon. Which, that's not impossible. Like, it sounds silly even after they lost to Washington State. This team was in a title game just a year ago, but not impossible.
I'm PJ Fleck. Ducks have a corkscrew dick. Wrap your dick in a corkscrew. Let's go get them.